All right, let's get our Bibles to the book of Romans again. Book of Romans, chapter number 15. Romans chapter number 15, and again, verse number 14. All right, as we're getting there, if you want to go ahead and turn to the book of Psalms, chapter number 19, and verse number 7. Psalms, chapter number 19, and verse number 7. We had one miracle happen this morning. Praise the Lord. Pastor Seth skipped by, I guess, in some of your watches. I was over 1 minute. So he said $200. Now, if I finish by 4 o'clock this afternoon, $200. So if I do a little early, $1,000. If I do it a little bit earlier than that. So that's going to be great. Thank you for coming here. I do appreciate, in all seriousness, your patience. I had to make some decisions that was difficult, and I appreciate the group of people that we have, the mature Christian that we have in our church, and I want to thank you for being very understanding. Moving forward, I've told a few people that this will not happen in this way again, all right? Making some policies moving forward, but we're excited for what's going to happen tomorrow, and please pray for Jesse and Nancy as you think of them, all right? Romans chapter number 15 and verse number 14. I'm not going to have you stand up this time. Just note it with your eyes as I read it to you. And I myself also am persuaded, talking about Paul, of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. You find the word able, and that is the ability, the wherewithal to do what I'm about to preach. I'm glad my dad made it and my mom. They had the undertaking of taking care of Philip, and that is a handful. And Mariah, and I see them through the glass door. Hallelujah. They made it. Thank you, Dad, and thank you, Mom, as they're coming, winning the victory in war. They've won. Praise the Lord for them. We were here since this morning. And so we thought it would be wise for them to go home, and I appreciate my mom and dad for taking care of them today. All right, filled with goodness, full of goodness, and filled with knowledge is the prerequisite for us to get the ability to admonish one another. If you know truth, you can say it readily. There's no problem with that. I'm not trying to tell you not to say the truth. That's not my point. But what I'm saying is, in lieu of working together, in lieu of relationship, in lieu of husband and wife, in lieu of parents and children, in lieu of all of those things, brothers and sisters in the church, for us to have our words have some weight and our words to maybe find a listening ear or an ear or a heart that might be a little bit more open is if we learn to admonish the proper way. And what God tells us is we need to have some goodness, all right? And that, in my mind, we need to have some care. The people that we're trying to help needs to know we care for them. And we mean well. And we are doing this with the right spirit and the right motive, okay? And then number two, it'd be good if we know about a situation as much as possible. Now, being a pastor, I know this. I have to make decisions between people I love in the same place. And if I make one will be affected. Case in point, the situation we're having right now, this afternoon. Some of you, a lot of you were affected, but I was put in a place that I have to make decision, and I decided to make those decisions, and I am responsible for the decisions I make. All right? Those that don't like what I did, those that I like what I did, I get both of them. All right? That's the way life goes. By the way, being an adult, that is what it means. All right, teenagers, as you grow, young children, as you grow, you have to know this, that whatever you decide, there is a consequence. People are either going to like it or not going to like it. All right, the main thing is make sure you're doing what God wants you to do. His pleasure is utmost important than anybody else's. All right, so think about that. Now, we need to have knowledge. And as I try to counsel people and as I try to help resolve situation, I tried my very dead level best to get as much detail on both sides of this equation so that I can see and know the picture of the whole thing before I make a judgment call, all right? And so learn that in your life. We looked at, number one, where could admonishment come from? What are the places that it will come from? We looked at point number one this morning, and that was the Lord. The Lord tells us that he will admonish us, all right? Now, building up on the Lord, at times, he spoke to people different ways. Not the same truth, but different ways of proclaiming the truth. Let me say it this way. In Adam and Eve's time, he didn't have a Bible for them to read. He spoke audibly with them. He spoke audibly with them. Later on, there was prophets. Later on, there was dreams, and there was interpretation of dreams. Later on, there was angels. All right, now, in our day, according to the book of Peter, Peter said, and he's one of the witnesses of the Transfiguration. He saw Jesus Christ glorified on the Mount of Transfiguration. But he himself, in the book that he wrote, he said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. And what is that? The written word. The written word. And so today, I don't need to dream, and I don't need to have extra revelation. I don't need an angel to see me. All I have to go to is the Word of God taught by the Holy Ghost of God. You understand that in our day, that's how he speaks. So point number two, so if God will give us admonishment, guess naturally, number two, the Word, the Bible, that's where we're going to get what? Admonished from. All right, that's the second point now. Look at Psalms. I hope you're there. I'm not, but I have it in my notes. Psalms chapter number 19, verses 7 to 11. All right, this is a song. Some of us know scripture song. You know what? If anybody want to tackle this, where's Kyle? It would be not wrong for us to learn some scripture songs. I love scripture songs. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backwards, but I cannot behold him. He hide himself on the right hand where I cannot see him. And then I slaughter it because I don't know the rest of it. But it's Job, right? This is another song. It would not be a bad idea. Maybe on a Sunday night we can start singing, learning some scripture song, right? It'll minister to us. I love singing scripture songs. Sing a lot of them in a short amount of time and get our hearts ready. That's a vision. That's a vision I have for our music director, Brother Kyle. He's in the room today. All right, Psalms 19, 7 to verse number 11. The Bible says, the law of the Lord is perfect. Where do we find the law of God? The Word of God. So where we find the law of God? In the Word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. We don't need to convert the Bible to what we want. We need to convert to what the Bible wants. All right, good. It's afternoon, I understand. No amens, I understand. That's fine. I was waiting for one. The law of the Lord is, amen, praise the Lord. That helps the preacher. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. It is sure. There's no doubt about it. It is sure. You can rest. You can establish. You can build your life on the truth and the principle of the scriptures. It is sure. All right? Making wise the simple. There is no reason for any Christian that have been saved for a period of time to remain simple on the things of God. The problem that you're simple on the things of God, maybe it's on your end of it. You're not paying attention. You're not taking it seriously. You're not walking with the leading of the Holy Ghost. I'm not sure what the cause is. I don't pretend to know. But if you are remaining simple with the things of God and you've been saved for 10, 20 years, probably the problem is not with God or his word. It might be with us. Do we understand that? All right, let's move on. And you can catch your second nap. All right, let's move on. We're after the second nap. And I'm after a second miracle. So let's move on. All right? Look at this. The statutes of the Lord. What is that? The word of God. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. You know, when you hear truth from the word of God, it should cause you to rejoice. That's what right and the truth should cause in your heart, to rejoice. The commandment, where do you find that? the word of God. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean. How do you start with fearing God? You start by fearing God, right? And then you'll say that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, as the Proverbs tells us. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord, where do you find God's judgment? Where do you find his decisions? Where do you find where he stands on things? The word of God. Look at it. As you listen, the judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Verse number 10, more to be desired are they than gold. Is that true today? Is people flocking over to hear God's word? Are people flocking over to know what God says? It's sad to say, in our culture, it's not the case. It doesn't have to be with you. It doesn't have to be with you as a Christian. You could desire the word of God more than gold. You can desire the word of God more than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. The verse continues, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Now here's the verse. Why did I pick this passage of scripture? We're talking about admonishment. What is admonishment? Gentle reproof. A reproof in mildness. A what? A warning. A notification. To notify. To instruct. Right? To let you know if there is a problem, a practice that needs to be changed, or a practice that needs to be enacted. All right? Maybe you didn't know that as a Christian you should be a soul winner. Now, God's going to instruct you and give you warning. You should soul win and give you all of that. All right? Look at this. Verse 11. Here's the key part of what I read this book, this passage. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them, there is great reward. Keeping what? Taking heed and receiving the admonishment that comes from the word of God. All right? Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them, there is great reward. Where can admonishment come from? Number one, the Lord. Number two, the word of God. Look at this passage now. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. If you want to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 1. I'm going to tell you verse number 1. I'm going to tell you how far we're going to read, but I'm going to point to you number 1. All right? 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 1. Regarding admonishment coming from the word. Let me read to you verse 1 as you look into it. 1 Corinthians 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. What is the idea again of admonishment? How should you be giving it? You should be giving it with care, from the heart of love, with knowledge. You know something is to come that is a danger. You're warning people to avoid it. Or you are warning people because you love them of something good coming, and you want them not to miss it, all right? And you want to warn them, and you want to let them know. I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Talking about Jews here. Look at verse number 2. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Let me give you the principle of baptism. You wonder why the scripture has many different baptism, all right? There's only one baptism by water, and that is immersion. The word baptize means to immerse. Now, the word baptize also refers to spiritual baptism, all right? We are baptized by the Holy Ghost, all right? That's a teaching. And here we find that there's a baptism of Moses. There's also a baptism of John the Baptist. That's slightly different than the baptism that you and I have in Jesus Christ. All right? What does baptism mean? It is a point of identification. A point of identification. I have multiple different IDs. Multiple different ones. I happen to be a citizen of two countries. So I have a driver's license that is here in New York. And I have a driver's license that's Philippine driver's license. I have a passport that is U.S. and I have a passport that is Philippines. They're different, but the idea is that they are used for my identification. So here, baptism, in its basic principle of it, is to identify. When we get baptized here, what do? We identify with the gospel. What is that? That Christ what? Died, he was buried, and he rose again. When we do that there, when people get saved, we just had a couple baptisms here, about 8 different people got baptized in the last 2 weeks. What are they saying? I identify with all of you that are watching that now I am saved. I have accepted Christ as my Savior. I am born again, child of God. That's what they do. It's in a form of identification. All right? So don't get confused. Moses didn't baptize people in water. All right? The idea here is they identified Moses. What is that? In the wilderness. Let me read you verse 3 now. And did all eat the same spiritual meat? Verse 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock, capital R, that followed them. And that rock was Christ. Now they're giving you some spiritual aspects of the wilderness experience that the Jew had. Now look at this, verse 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. It's very clear now. Verse 6. Now these things were our examples. To the intent, what is the reason? What is the purpose? To the intent, we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So now, God is using 1 Corinthians here to teach us a truth that we read about in the Old Testament in the book of Genesis about the life of the Jews in the wilderness. God is going to bring a correlation here. There's principles that happen there that applies to us today, and it's not hard. Look at this now. In verse number 7, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, and there's that admonishment. We are talking about the word. What is the word? It's the Bible. What is the Bible? It's the written word of God. Now look at it, it says, as it is written, let me find it here in verse 7. It is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Verse 8, neither let us commit fornication. Here's the warning. Here's the admonishment of the word of God found in the Ten Commandments. Look at what it says. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. See the warning? You see the principle of warning and admonishment that the word of God now is being used? Look what it says now. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. If you know your Old Testament, remember that? There were serpents God used to bite the Jews, and they were supposed to look at a snake on a rod. That if they look at it, they would be saved from that poison. Remember that story? It's in fact in our medical, one of the symbols in medicine is that, all right? A picture of a snake on a pole, all right? Look at this now as it continues here. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it written, the people sat down to drink, okay? Verse 10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Verse 11, now all these things happen unto them for ensamples. Earlier it says they were ensamples for us. Now these things happen to them in ensamples, all right? And they are written for what? Look at the verse. For our admonition. All right? And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. We talk about the last days. This is probably the last of the last days. It's coming our way. Christ, I can't predict the time. I shouldn't, and I don't know. But it's going to be sooner now than it is ever before. All right? Christ is coming. And here we find that these things are written, the word of God, the stories of the Old Testament has a principle that carries through to now, that there is a form of warning, admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. That is a saying that is being said by somebody, admonishing, warning somebody, notifying them, hey, if you think you're that, be careful. All right? Look at this, verse 13. There had no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. What it's saying is, just like the Jews had a hard time in the wilderness, just like the Jew lusted, and just like the Jew had problem with fornication, and just like the Jew had problem with idolatry, just like the Jew didn't trust God's word, you could fall for the same thing. You see now how the stories of Old Testament, historical they may be, is being used now in the New Testament. And now in our day, here at Faith Bible Baptist Church, at this time, at this hour, a preacher is using it to warn us that, hey, don't do these things because it's not good for you or for anybody you love. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. There's the good news. Remember I told you that admonition comes in good things. Things you shouldn't do because there's a bad consequence. There's things that you should do and there's good consequence that come. This is what it's saying. Hey, even there's temptation that is not that would come your way, there is a way of escape. All right? But will with the temptation also make a way of escape? Verse 13, that ye may be able to bear it. Verse 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. Discern what am I saying. Pay attention to what I'm saying and learn from what I'm saying. Find the truth in what I'm saying to you today. So, number two, where do you expect admonishment to come from? Number one, the Lord. Number two, the Word. And it just builds upon each other. Now, number three. Number three, where do you find the Word of God preach? The church. That's number three. Where do you find admonition? Number one, the Lord. Number two, the Word. Number three, the church. Now look at 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 3. I promise you, this is part 2. And if I don't finish in time, there'll be a part 3. 2 Thessalonians, turn your scriptures there. You are doing great for a Sunday afternoon crowd. You are doing great. This is your nap time, and I appreciate you being here. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3 and verse number 6 to verse number 16. All right? Let me read that to you now. Verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, all right? Brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which ye receive of us. So in the church, we have to pay attention. The Bible talks about in the church, we need to mark them that cause division, all right? We provide a place of haven here. We provide a place of unity here. But remember when I was preaching and teaching on that idea of unity in Sunday school of years gone by, 2021, I believe I started with that. We don't unify because we like each other. We unify because of the truth. And sometimes, as we unify in the truth, some of our brothers, if they change colors and if they change their uniforms and they go on the other side and they fight with us, then we have to contend for the faith, even with people we love. A lot of us know the history of the Civil War. In the Civil War, men fought against people they loved. Because of what? Truth. That men believe. They separated because of truth that they believe. All right? The South felt like that no group of people or a group of men can dictate to them their state rights. They believe they have the right to rule their states in particular. They have constitution and such things. And I'm not going to lecture on history. I might get in trouble here. But what I'm trying to say is they believed that they were right in some way. All right? And the North says, no, that's wrong. All right? When it comes to people, that is not right for men to be slaves, and so on. And you can argue with me, and we can argue, and that's not my point. But good men, family, separated because of truth. And sometimes in the church, there is some separation. I don't like it, but there's some separation that happens when it comes to truth. Sometimes there's a truth that we don't see eye to eye, and we separate from one another, and that happens. Now, let me give you a warning. That truth better be very, very solid that you're going to separate from. We don't separate from one another because of preferences. We don't separate over one another because of the color of the carpet. We don't celebrate. We don't separate because our preferences on that particular incident didn't get done. All right? We separate from other reasons, Bible convictions that God has put in our life. You know, there's some people, brothers of mine, sisters of mine, and this is true, and I respect them. They don't want to go to a restaurant that sells beer. That's not a bad situation, all right? So when I invite them, I'll ask a lot of times, especially missionaries, when I take them out to eat, and if we do go out to eat on the restaurants, I would ask them because I know this could be a place that they have a stand on. And I'll ask, would you like to go out to eat? Where would you prefer to go out? And a lot of times they know that that place serves beer. And if they do, some of them have talked to me and said, rather not go there. All right, that's fine. That's not something for me to divide over them. But they divide over that. They're not going to eat with me if I go to a restaurant that sells alcohol. That's not a bad deal. There's plenty of restaurants that doesn't serve alcohol. Let's go to McDonald's. I got Burger King for you. I got Wendy's for you. I got, I have to be careful. What else doesn't have alcohol? Anybody know? Anybody knows that there's a place that serves alcohol? Where's a good place to drink? Anyways, that happens sometimes where that can be a dividing line. And that's not bad to divide over that. All right? That's not a bad thing necessarily. Some people don't like Disney. Good. Good. All right? We won't watch Disney. If we wanted to watch something together, I will not watch Disney with you. Fine. I like Bluey, and it's in Disney Plus. So I don't know what to do, but I don't know what you're watching. PBS? Are you watching Barney? Is Barney still around? I think blue is a little bit more. Well, let's argue later after church. All right? Look at this, verse 11. For we hear that there are some which walk disorderly. Oh, let me finish this. The idea of the whole context now, this verse is being said, is about people decided they don't need to work no more. Remember at this time, how many times were they meeting? You see the problems happening here. Pay attention to the Bible context. What's happening during the early church? And I'm not sure on what are we here? What are we reading here? What book are we in? 1 Thessalonians. I'm not sure if they're having a problem with Thessalonians, but you know what was happening in Thessalonians. It was kind of like the beginning of Acts. What was happening in Thessalonians? The whole subject matter of Thessalonians. Every verse on 1 Thessalonians was happening. The Lord is coming back. That's where we find 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. So find the context of 1 Thessalonians. There's a reason why there's a 2 Thessalonians. But the 1 Thessalonians, the preaching, or the idea is being presented to the people in Thessalonica that Christ is coming back. You know what people are doing? Guess what people were doing in light of that. That's why be careful what you hear from the preacher. Make sure you understand before you do something. Before the preacher says, oh, the preacher said this. No, go talk to him first. Because maybe he didn't mean what you think he meant. All right? And you know what the people were doing in 1 Thessalonians? If you read it, they were selling their lands. They were selling, they were getting off of work. They were quitting their jobs. And they were all huddled up together. They were in some way socialistic in mindset. Everybody sharing whatever shared. And Paul says, whoops, we got a problem here. And 2 Thessalonians comes in. You know what, 2 Thessalonians, people got used to brother so-and-so had money, so now brother so-and-so cooking this week for us, and a lot of times they met every day. So guess what? They have to eat. So guess what's happening? A few people doing the work, and everybody benefits with no regard to those that work. It's a problem, and it's even a problem that in some local churches, I hope it's not here. I hope we help one another. I hope we take turns in doing ministry. It's not one family's job to do. It's not a couple of families' job to do. It's the whole church. It's our church. All right? Let's help all out when we can. Now, here's the situation. He's talking about people that are not working. Neither should they eat. Now, you get the Bible context now. Right? Because people sold all their possession. They quit the job. Why? Because Jesus is coming. What's the point of working? What's the point of owning land? Jesus is coming. I don't need those things. I'm going to leave them behind. They took it so literally, they didn't ask the preacher. So guess what the preacher did? Preacher wrote them a second book. Oh, where do we find this? Oh, grant you. In 2 Thessalonians, just makes a whole lot of sense now, right? In the context now is what? People are in the church, gotten used to 1 Thessalonians, not working, they gave up their job. They're not that they're lazy. They just got accustomed to this life now that everybody provides for me. I just sit here and enjoy everybody's labor. And God pronounces them a truth through Paul. Now, we use it now today. All right, look at it. In verse number, where did I read? Verse number 7? Where am I here, guys? 7. Let me go 7. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves orderly among you. Verse number 8. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught. Did you see now the context why he's saying this? But wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. All right? We worked. Even though we're preachers, we work. I understand you give to us because you honor us, but we also work. All right? So that we are not chargeable. We don't owe you anything. We are worth our labor when we come and visit with you. All right? Excuse me. Verse number 8. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Verse number 9. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow. Here's some things that are Christian. They had the right as the pastors to ask of the people to feed them, but they said, we won't use our authority. Hey, guess what? Pastor Chris doesn't like to use his authority as a pastor to get his way. I don't like doing that because I want it coming from your heart. I want it coming from your heart. Yes, okay. A lot of you say, well, pastor, get those people over there. They're not doing right. Use your authority. All right, I'll go over there. I'm Pastor Chris. You have no idea who I am and the context of why I'm coming to you, but you should not do that. How do you think they will respond? Okay, here's another thing a pastor gave me wisely. If you come to me, and I understand there's some legit reason for coming to me because somebody's doing something wrong, and I have the authority to handle the problem. I'm not saying don't ever come to me. But in some circumstances, when you come to me, I will not use my authority to get the job done because I feel I don't have the human authority to use to get them to obey God. God has to get them to obey God. Now, if it affects our church, like this afternoon at 3 p.m., I have to make that choice. And I did make the choice. It's 3 p.m., hello. Do you understand that? Did I just go a little too fast for you? I think you understand that I made that determination that we have our church at 3 p.m. today. That's my call, right? I used my pastoral authority to do that, all right? But I can't go to somebody's husband and make them love their wife. That's not my call. I can preach, I can teach, I can instruct, I can help disciple them if they want it, but God has to get in their heart for them to love their wife as they ought. I can't go and slap them around and, you obey her, take care of her, go on a date with her. I can't do that. That's not in my realm of authority. That's way out of bounds. I can't go and discipline your children for you. That's your job. Hello, I got my own. Do you understand that? You understand that? That's what Paul is saying here. Look, there's some things I'd rather show you by example. I don't want to use my pastoral authority, all right? But I'm going to use my example and show it to you. And look at what verse 10 says. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that any would not work, neither should he eat. Here's another problem with people not working, not doing anything. Verse 11. For we hear that there are some which mock among you disorderly. What does God say? He is a God of order. What does God say? Everything should be done decently and in order. May I say, disorder is opposite of what? Order. If he says disorderly, that means it's not orderly. And if he's for order, something is wrong. And Paul thus addresses the problem. What is the problem? Very unique to the Thessalonians. What is that? People quit their jobs. People sold their property. People thought Jesus was coming. And now everybody start feeding us. Now they're living in a commune, I imagine. I don't know where they're living, whose property they decide to live. Or maybe they're a mobile church. I don't know what happened here. But God is now addressing the problem. And you know, if you look at the context of 2 Thessalonians, God, through Paul, mildly says to them, hey, calm down, people. Jesus is coming back. But it doesn't mean we do all what we did now here. All right, go to work. You still have to have a job. You have to occupy, all right, till he comes. Look at now, verse 11. Okay, which among you disorderly, verse 11. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all. And what do they do when they're not working at all? But are busybodies. There is some truth to some things that I've seen other pastors do. They keep people busy. Because busy people have no time to be moseying around on other people's matters. I guess maybe that's what they're doing it. But let me just say this to you guys. If it's not your business, it ain't your business. There's some business that the pastor has, and I'm alone allowed to have that. If I ask your opinion on those things, I will come to you. I will come to you and say to you, in simple and clear, and I'm going to ask you, do you like my green suit? You have the right to tell me. Don't be afraid. I'm coming to you as a friend. I'm not using my pastor authority. I'm just being kind. I'm just being your friend. I want to know, do you like my green suit? If I say that, that's the proper time to give your opinions. Oh, we need to learn that too, by the way, when to give our opinions and when not to give our opinions. That's a good thing to learn. That's a very good thing to learn. I know we're New Yorkers and we feel like we have the right to tell everybody and anybody what we think at that moment in time. But it might not be a Christian thing to do all the time. Maybe we can learn some discernment and learn when to say our mind. And when maybe not to say it at all right? I'm not saying don't say anything to me, all right? A lot of you I love. A lot of you know what you love. I love you, all right? And you love me. So if you feel like I have a booger right here, like a big, big booger right here, and I'm about to come on Sunday morning, I don't have for you. You can tell me. You can stop me and say, hey, you got something on your face. You need to take care of it, all right? I understand that. But learn some discernment, all right? Just because you know something, it doesn't give you the right to say it. Just because you know something doesn't mean it's the right time to say it. Find the Holy Ghost to help you in doing those things. Now, look at this. Verse number 12. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ. By what authority now? The Lord. The Lord's authority. All right, now, these people that are busybodies, not working at all. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. God is about self-responsibility. God is about everybody doing their part to get the job done. God is a part of unified, cooperative, corporate people working together, but yet being responsible individually in the corporation. We all have to work together. We don't depend on a few people doing the work. We all do the work. That's what he says here. What's his solution to this? Through Paul, he says, now them that are such, we command and exhort you by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to wed somebody tomorrow, and I say at the end of it, before I pronounce them husband and wife, I say by the authority vested in me by God. I say that, right? Paul is saying, by the authority vested me by the Lord Jesus Christ, those that don't work and are busybodies, work quietly. That means don't talk about anybody. Work quietly, provide for their own needs, so they can eat their own bread. Verse 13, but ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Here's a thought to think about, Christians. Those that do majority of the work in the group of collective, They get tired doing the work. Let me say it one more time. Those people that do the majority of the work, majority of the time, get tired doing the work. Sunday school teachers, do you feel like it would be nice for you to have a break, maybe one Sunday a month, or even one Sunday every 6 months, or even one Sunday every year, and have somebody else come along and teach your class? Would you enjoy that? That's the time you can say, yes, Pastor, I would enjoy that. Would you think it was worth it for me and Pastor Cole to take off, Pastor said, should go and take a little bit of refreshment and a little bit of a reprieve because of all the work that is being done? You think, would that be okay? Absolutely okay. Absolutely okay. Well, when they leave, the work must still be done. I left 3 weeks ago. Praise the Lord, there's people that did the job that I was responsible to. Thank you, Brother Mike, for teaching my Sunday school class. Things still need to be done, even though I have to take a break. Well, guess what? We need to need more people to get the job done. As we all take breaks, somebody has to be left doing the work. Let us not all go at once. I'll just shut down the church. There's no reason to go to church. Everybody's on vacation all the time. Let's time it out. Let's ask. All right, my turn is March. When's yours? All right, yours is April. Okay, great. Who's taking care of your class? Who's handling your responsibility? Well, it's just the same people. Well, they get tired. And you get mad at them. Well, what's the problem? Because they do all the work. They're tired. Would you like to do all the work? Would you like to do all the work? Huh? No. Well, they don't either. They don't. They don't like to do all the work either. So let's work together with them. Let's look at those people that do the work and say, hey, let me give you a break. Let me do it this week. I can do it once a month. Let me help you with that. What a help that would be, right? It's 4 o'clock. The second miracle is not happening. Here it comes. Verse 13. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And those that are doing the work, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. And please help yourself. Get some break. Get a break. The best thing you can do sometimes is take a break. Go get what you need so that you can continue for the long haul. Go. If it's not going to get done, it's not going to get done. Just go. Get a break. Because they know how much you do. Come back, though. Don't leave forever. Come back. Because some of us that are responsible will be holding the bag for you. Those that are still busy. I still end up going to be the one holding the bag. But come back. And let's tag team here and let's get it done. Look at this. Verse number 14. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle. What? Woo! If you don't obey me, this is by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I write to you, 2 Thessalonians, Thessalonians. And if any man obey not the word by this epistle, note that man. Ooh, you're judgmental, Pastor Chris. You are very, very judgmental. You are micromanagement all the way. You pay attention? The Bible says I should. Note that man. Who was here Sunday morning? Who was supposed to give me my water? Who's supposed to be singing? Supposed to be in the bus. I should be doing that. I'm responsible, am I? Am I irresponsible if I go home and I just let the kids do whatever they want? No guidelines, no discipline, no purpose of our home, no motto at our home. Our home is clean, keep it clean, keep it clean. That's the motto of the Barron house. I don't know what your motto is at your house. But ye brethren, right? Look at this. And if any man obey not the word by this epistle, know that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Americans, I love our being an American. We try not to get everything by free. Most of the people that come to this church, I appreciate you. I know by your giving, I know by you being here at 3:00 PM, I'm preaching to the choir here. I appreciate you. Thank you. If I don't say enough, I want to tell you, thank you from the pulpit. Thank you. You are the people that make things happen around here. Thank you. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. We need more people. We need to recruit more of our brethren. Don't be mean to them as I'm mean to you and by preaching. Don't be mean. Be nice. Let's get some people to help you in your classes. Train the next generation. Help somebody to know how to turn the lights off in here. For crying out loud, the pastor should not be the one turning off the lights to leave. There is nowhere in Scripture that tells me that I'm the one to turn off the lights. Some of you talk forever. You do it. I'm going home. I'm kidding. I love turning off the lights. I'm one of the people that stays forever and talk forever. You count him not as an enemy, though. There it is. Here's where we have a problem. This is where we have a brother, an older brother and a younger brother syndrome. Where the older brother, when the prodigal came home, was upset and had a bad attitude. We should not have a bad attitude. Look at the verse. Look at the verse. Okay, you should make them feel ashamed. You should note that man. You should not have no company with that man. But look at verse number 15 and the balancing that God is so masterful at. Look at what he says. Yet count him not as an enemy. This same person that is a busybody, that is not working, you need to tell them to work quietly. And they need to find something to do so that they can be a part of this. But look at the admonition here. It's coming. But it says here in verse number 15, yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Here's the problem with Christianity, guys. We remain brothers no matter what. Yes, he's mean to you. Yes, he's hurt you. Yes, she's talked bad about you. But we remain brothers. And we don't treat them any different. They're not our enemies. And we have to admonish them. That's how we approach the problem. We admonish them. We say to them, it's not good behavior for everybody to be working and you sitting. Can you help us? Here. Let's put the chairs. You can pick up a chair or two or tables. Come and help us. Do it in an admonishing way. Reprove them mildly. Notify them. Warn them. Instruct them. Right? Admonish. Where is this happening at? The church. The church. In relation to the church. You count them not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Verse 16. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. What? That's a powerful verse. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. There'll be a little bit more peace in the church where the majority of the people get involved in working together than only a minority doing the work and everybody enjoying it. Guys, there's a lot to be done. Ask. Ask Pastor Chris. I'll plug you in along the way. It's not going to be something you want. Don't tell me this is where I need to be, Pastor. Just ask. Where can I help? I'll find department heads. I'll find people that need help. And you have to have some willingness to work with people. All right? And you can help in the workload of Faith Bible Baptist Church. And we can work together, unified, and make the work lighter because many of our hands are working at the same time. Right? Admonish. Where does admonish come from? The Lord. Number two, where? The Word. Number three, the church. And that's all we have time for. Part three coming your way soon. Lord, we come. As the pianist comes, we're not going to be taking any more unnecessary time. As the pianist come, we want to be mindful of what we learned. There is some admonishment that needs to happen. Lord, and we need to know that we have to have goodness as a prerequisite. We have to be full of it. We have to be filled with knowledge. And Lord, we come to you to get admonished. We come to your word to be admonished, and we come to the church to be admonished. Help us, we ask, in Jesus' name, amen and amen.